This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah. I thought this moment was never going to come, man. Any longer and I was going to have to shoot someone. That was the longest intro I've ever had in my life, shit. So. You guys are very, very patient. If this was in Sydney, there would have been 3 janazas by now. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalam ala rasulillah. I want to thank everyone for coming and thank the committee of the masjid that I was told is Ferrero Rocher. Now I understand. I ask Allah to bless this place. I want to thank dearly from the bottom of my heart, my dear friend, my father figure, Sheikh Yaqub. May Allah bless you, Sheikh. I don't know where you're hiding, but may Allah bless you. That's you there, Sheikh. Allah bless you and bless your family. Allah, I love you from the bottom of my heart. And his blessed son, my dear friend, Sheikh Burhan, and to all of your family, and to everyone invited. Can I kindly ask no one to record, please? It's very awkward when I'm talking and people are holding a phone. We should never come to a lecture to record, because as soon as your phone starts recording, your mind and your heart stop recording. And there's no good having a phone that's got information on it while our hearts are empty. So for once in your life, put your phone down, show Allah that you're here purely for His sake. What do you reckon? You reckon we can do that, inshallah? Inshallah. Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the King, the Master, the Sustainer, the Creator of the 7 heavens and the earth, and we send peace and blessings upon His beloved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything that you see and everything that you don't. He, the King, the Master, the Sustainer, the Creator of all things. Wallahi, if we understood the words that were recited by the D-Sheikh, there is no need for a bayan today, no need for a bayan into the Day of Judgment if we just absorbed and understood the words that come directly from Allah. Such is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my brothers, who created everything that you see and that which you don't, who created the prophets and the angels, and of all of His creation, of all of His majesty, of all of His wonders, there is nothing greater and no one more amazing and no one more pure and no one more beloved to Allah than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nobody more than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You see, my brothers, what Rasulullah means to Allah, we will never understand. And this Quran that we hear and this Quran that we read, this Quran that we try to absorb stories from, was sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to fulfill many tasks. But one of the most important roles of the Quran, and please, I beg you here tonight, let us for once in our lives open our hearts and our minds. Don't come to the talk so you can go home and brag to your friends that I was at the event. Please don't be so shallow. Open your heart. We should come to any bayan, any khutbah with an open heart, asking Allah, begging Allah that, Ya Allah, please. Please, Ya Allah, guide me, open my heart, give me nur. People sit in my gatherings and tell me, brother, you know, I wish my father was here. Everything you said, man, you spoke about all the bad qualities he has in his life. I wish my friend was here. I wish my auntie, my... Almost as if you and I, we don't need deen. But they do. That's the sign of a sick heart. Because if Allah wanted your friend, your brother, your auntie, whoever you... If Allah wanted them here, trust me, they would be here. But you and I are here. Because Allah wants you and I to hear the message, not them. So we should open our hearts. You know, it's funny, I've been sharing this in South Africa. Whenever we read the Quran from cover to cover, whenever we read the Quran, Not a single verse in the Quran applies to me except the verses of Rahmah. Look at the nifaq and the hypocrisy and the sicknesses in our hearts. That when Allah speaks about the severity of His punishment, yeah, Allah's not speaking to me, bro. Allah's speaking to the kuffar. When He speaks about Jahannam, هَلْ امْتَلَأْتِ أَيُّ فُولٍ? He's not speaking to me, bro. When He speaks about the signs of hypocrisy and nifaq, Allah's not speaking to me. That's why when we hear the Quran, it falls on deaf ears and doesn't have the effect that it's supposed to have. Because the Quran is not for me. The Quran is for others. For you and I, the Quran is me barakah. MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Hang it up on our walls and hang up verses and we send these beautiful statements and messages. One of the jobs of the Quran was to comfort and soothe the heart of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bro, do you know what that means? No man was ever tested like him. No prophet, no man, no individual was ever tested and trialed like the way Rasulullah was. The hardships, the pain, the persecution, the insults, the difficulties, the ups and the downs. No man ever faced what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faced. People ask me, my brother, I'm suffering. I need help. I need assistance. Where do I go, bro? Where do I go? What a shame. What a shame that we've been so disconnected from the Quran. The very medicine that Allah sent to soothe the heart of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has zero effect on you and I. We run to masjids and we run to imams and we run to muftis and we run to organizations and we run to drugs and to alcohol and to be, with all my respect to the masjid, we run to anything and everything except Allah. So Allah has humiliated us. وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ. The Quran was sent to Rasulullah from Allah. But do you know what that means? Imagine if the King of Kings, if the Creator of the heavens, and when His Prophet was harmed, when His Prophet was hurt, He could have sent down angels to destroy, and He could have turned mountains into gold, and He could have, you know, sometimes as a father, your son comes to you, may Allah never test you. Have you ever had your son come to you one day and tell you, Dad, somebody at school has been bullying me? How do you feel? You don't know what to do. You don't know, do I go to the headmaster, do I go to the kid? You're furious. So imagine Allah when He's watching Rasulullah be harmed. He would send him ayat of Quran to soothe his heart. And you and I, the Quran has no impact in our hearts. The Quran was sent to your Habib to lift him up when he was down, to strengthen him when he was worried. If you had the Quran in your life, you would need nothing and no one else. The Quran, and in specifically, because my time is very limited, in specifically, the stories of the prophets. You know the stories of the prophets, I have a confession. You see, I'm a bit of a fruit loop. Whenever I'm driving, and I talk to myself a lot. So if you ever see me speaking to myself, let it go. Wallahi, I speak to my... Because I always think of the Quran in this perspective. And then I think to myself, Ya Allah, why are you telling Rasulullah the stories of the prophets? Have you ever thought like this? Like, why the story of Ibrahim? And why in specific those details? Yani, why didn't you tell us about his birth? Why didn't you... No, no. Every letter, every harf, every ayah, every was specifically designed, crafted straight from Allah, perfection. The mu'jiza of Rasulullah was the Quran. The stories of the prophets. You see, my brothers, for many of us, the stories of the prophets have become bedtime stories for us. We sit our children down, and then Allah created Adam, and then Adam came onto earth, and then Allah created Nuh, and then Nuh built a sheep, and then he put the animals on there, and then they... Is this why Allah revealed these stories to Rasulullah? You see, if we understood the seerah and the Quran, I wish I had time. Many people come to me, brother, look what's happening in the world. Look what's happening in this country, in that country. Look at what the rulers are doing. Look how the people of power and position are harming us. And look. Every proof in the world that we are so disconnected from the seerah and the Quran. Because if we understood the seerah and the Quran, everything you see today is not new. It is step by step. Step by step, Allah unveils it in the Quran. You see, the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, imagine, wallahi, the Habib was born into this world never knowing his father. What a way to start a journey. Then by the age of 6, Allah took his mother. Ya Allah. Ya Allah, what are you doing, Ya Allah? Sometimes you have a little problem in your life and you think, Ya Allah, why are you doing this to me? Words that are so dangerous. By the age of 6, he took his mother. By the age of 8, he took his grandfather. What a way to start a journey, man. Then he makes him a prophet at the age of 40. And then trials and tribulations. He went from, don't look at the seerah as in, wow, look at his life. Understand the seerah. What happened to him will happen to me if I follow his footsteps. The truth is, we don't want his life. We want this life. I want to reach Allah in a 5-star living. Doesn't happen, Habibi. Because if it was going to happen, it would have happened to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So how dare you and I think that we can reach Allah living a 5-star life? 5 stars are not haram. I'm not saying they're haram. But we are so far. We are so sick. We are so delusional. When I asked Sulaiman Mullah, I said to him, Shaykh, what's the difference between us and the Sahaba? He said, the Sahaba, they only wanted Jannah. We also want Jannah. We also want Jannah. You look at his life. Anyway, so the Prophet of Allah now, he was a Sadiq al-Amin. He was the most loved. Everyone honored Rasulullah. Everyone loved him in Mecca. The kuffar, everyone praised him and loved him. He was the pinup boy of Mecca. People would have felt honored to offer their daughters to him. He went from honor. Then when Islam came, wow, the hardships that he went through. When I was in Raywan, in the Ijtima, one of the elders, he said something amazing to me. He said to me sometimes, but really I think he meant all the times, you as a Muslim, you need to bury yourself in the dirt like a seed in order to shoot back up. We don't want to bury ourselves. We want to be up all the time. Rasulullah went from a Sadiq al-Amin to the liar, the kazzab, the fortune teller. Ya Allah, why are you doing this to me, Ya Allah? What harm have I done? This is the tartib of Allah. Anyway, so now Rasulullah is facing trials and tribulations in Mecca. Hardship. Every time he was hurt. Imagine sitting down. Habibi, I didn't choose to be a prophet. This isn't something that I chose. And Ya Allah, because look, and I'm paraphrasing here, because I'm thinking the way you and I think, right? Ya Allah, you're the King of Kings. Why this? Why the mess? Why the hardship? Why not just wipe out these people, create believers, and spare me the hardship? No. Allah has a tartib, Habibi. And nothing and no one can ever change it. And the sooner you submit, the sooner your life would be so much easier and pleasant. But we don't want to submit. We don't want to submit. So now Allah reveals to Rasulullah the stories of the prophets. You know, unfortunately for us, most of us, we're not orphans. So you don't know the feeling of being alone, man. You don't know the feeling of growing up in a foster home. You don't know the feeling of growing up never ever knowing your mother and your father. Imagine growing up in a world, no brother, no sister, no family, bro. The pain. So now Allah reveals to him the stories of his brothers in prophethood. You know, imagine you never knew your father, never knew him. And then one day you bump into someone and he says to you, I went to school with your father. Imagine the questions you would have for him. Sheikh, tell me, what was my dad like? Was he firm? Was he strong? Was he soft? Was he a funny guy? Imagine, but I don't know. So imagine when Allah is telling Rasulullah, let me tell you about your brothers in prophethood. Wow, man. So now Allah, and let me tell you maybe just one story because time really we don't have. So Allah now reveals unto Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the story of his brother Musa alayhi salam. And again, don't listen to the story for the mere entertainment. Try to imagine like you are Rasulullah and Allah is telling you this story and ask yourself, Ya Allah, why are you telling me this story? What are the lessons you want me to learn? For Rasulullah and any person to ever have tawheed after him, listen to these stories and absorb them and understand them and you will never go astray. One story. Musa alayhi salam. Let me dissect it as much as I can. And leave this with me, yeah? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He reveals to us the story of Musa. And I swear by Allah, if this was not Quran, I would never believe the story of Musa if He gave me the world and what it contains. I'm telling you, Hollywood and Bollywood together have never put a story like the story of Musa. But since it's Quran, it's 1,000,000,000% haq from Allah. So we take it fully and look at the power of Allah. So Allah tells us the story of Musa. But before He gets to Musa, and every... Before Musa, He tells us about a man named Fir'aun. And Fir'aun has never left this ummah. He's been there every generation. The concept of Fir'aun will never die. Don't you understand? The concept of Fir'aun will never die. That's why Allah mentions him. People ask me, brother, look what our rulers are doing to us. Look how far we are from the Quran. So He tells us about a man named Fir'aun. Let's look at this fruit loop together. People tell me, brother, have you heard the laws? Are you seeing what they're doing to the people in Burma? Did you see the video that's going around on WhatsApp? Children were being burnt a lot. You know why we're shocked? Because we don't know Quran and Sunnah, that's why. And you will understand why this happens, how does it get fixed, and how to prevent it. And trust me, it's not your money that fixes problems. I really wish our charity groups will wake up and understand. They're doing great work, but that's not how we solve our problems. Anyway, so Allah tells us about Fir'aun, a man that was so arrogant, a man that was so arrogant. Imagine, look, you got to be pretty twisted, bro. A man that decided to gather his people, فَحَشَرَ فَنَادَى. So he called his people one day, فَنَادَى, meaning he stood up in front of his people, فَحَشَرَ فَنَادَى فَقَالَ أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. Wow! A man that called his people and said, you know what? I am your Lord Almighty. You know what's more interesting than this? The people said, yeah, okay, whatever, man. No one opposed. Look how twisted. Yeah, okay, you're God Almighty, you're God Almighty. And look at, he says, look at the rivers, and look at this, and look at that. So therefore, you've got to be pretty twisted. You know, I've never seen a ruler, no matter how twisted they were, you've got to be pretty arrogant to think you're God Almighty. So Allah is showing you, Habibi, no one will ever be worse than him. So stop looking at the stupid, pathetic makhluk of your day and focus. Oh, I really wish we would understand. So one day this Fruit Loop goes to sleep. Quran. He goes to sleep and he sees a dream. So he wakes up in the morning. He's very annoyed with his dream. So he gathers his advisors. He says to them, look, you know, I seen this dream. Help me out here. What do you think is the tafsir of this dream? So his advisors end up saying to him, they turn around and they said, look, the tafsir of your dream is that someone will come, a child will come from the people of Banu Israel, and that he will overthrow you and take your kingdom. So the man says, okay, fine. No dalil, just a dream. Nothing more than a dream. He says, fine. If that's the case then, I will kill and slaughter every child to be born from Banu Israel. And this went on for years. Imagine the people of Banu Israel, how they felt. Imagine you woke up tomorrow morning only to hear and to realize that any child that is born from this day forward is to be slaughtered for no other reason than someone seen a dream somewhere and apparently the interpretation of that dream is my kid needs to be sacrificed. You think what we're going through is hardship? Habibi, look, I don't know what you ate, what you smoked, what, who you slept with that night, but what's it my business? So he starts killing. You get emotional by watching one little WhatsApp video. Every innocent, until this went on for some time, and then his advisor said, man, what are you doing? Then he said, I'll kill only the boys. Then they said, what, until they said, man, you keep killing children, no one is going to serve us. So look at his gesture of rahmah. He says, okay, fine. I will kill the boys 1 year on, 1 year off. This was his gesture of rahmah. We run to rulers begging for rahmah while we turn our backs on Allah. Anyway, now the story gets juicy. Allah, the King of Kings, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, when does He decide to make the mother of Musa fall pregnant? Wallahi. Guess when? The year when the kids have to be killed. Come on, Allah. Why are you complicating things for? Sometimes you ask yourself, Ya Allah, why did you grant me a disabled child? Ya Allah, why did you take my mother at such a young age? Ya Allah, why this? Ya Allah, why this? If you were to just stop, submit, and be thankful to Allah, everything will come your way. But we are people that hasten. So Allah is showing Rasulullah that don't worry. Listen and watch and observe. What happened to your brothers, I promise you, will happen to you. Just be patient. So the mother of Musa, of all the times in the world, she falls pregnant in the year when the child is to be executed. You see, you can hide your pregnancy, but when she gave birth, where's she gonna go with the baby? Scared and worried and concerned, and rightfully so. So now she worries, Ya Allah, my baby. So Allah inspires her. Quran. So Allah inspires her and says to her, basically, paraphrasing common terms, he says to her, look, if you're worried and you're concerned about your child, then trust me. Trust who? Allah. Allah. Trust me. Do as I instruct you, and he will be safe. Okay, that sounds good. I'm ready. Ya Allah, I'm prepared to trust you. Tell me, what's your plan? How many angels are going to come down and take my son? Tell me, Allah. How many angels do you plan on sending down to take my son? You see, many of us, we're so shallow in our thinking that we think the Nusra of Allah means what? That heavens are going to crack open and missiles are going to fall from the skies. Or that when we make dua for rizq, we think that tomorrow morning when I turn my tap on to make wudu, gold is going to fall down. And because we're people of dunya. So she says, Ya Allah, I'm prepared to trust you. Really? She doesn't have much of a choice, does she? But she trusts in Allah. So now Allah reveals to her his plan. Are you ready for this? This is Quran, I swear by Allah. He says to her, look, put your baby child, whom you're scared and worried about, put him in a wooden box. Now already for me, I'm thinking, yeah, and where are you going with this, Allah? Put him in a wooden box, not in a ship, not in an aircraft, not in a car, not in a FedEx box. Put him in a timber box, take the timber box, put it in the Nile River, and let it go. You think, what? Ya Allah, is this really you? Or is this some prank? Ya Allah, you're speaking to a mother that's concerned about her child, and you're telling her that to save your child from being slaughtered, put him in a timber box, wooden box. Yani, how good was the box 5,000 years ago, bro? Then take the box with my baby, infant, baby, newborn. Put him in the second biggest river in the world that travels through God knows how many countries and let it go. You know, sometimes you're between a rock and a hard place in life. This is between a rock and a hard place. Really, what are my options? I either have Pharaoh or this timber box. So she panicked a bit. So Allah strengthens her and says to her, we promise you that we will bring him back to you and we will honor his status. So she's too afraid. You know, sometimes mothers, they just can't watch. So she puts him in the box, gives him to his sister, her daughter, and she says to her, please, take him to, imagine the feelings. Are you with me? But because all we listen to the Quran as barakah. No, bro, no, dissect it, bro, dissect it. Imagine the sister. Imagine the agony. So she takes baby Musa. She takes baby Musa, goes to the Nile River. She says to her, take him to the Nile, put him in the river, and please, just for my heart, I want you to follow the box and tell me where it lands. So she goes to the Nile. She puts him down. Imagine the moment of when she let go. Brothers, do you think you're going to enter Jannah just like that? Do you? When Allah says in the Quran, and we will test you. Again, Allah's not talking to me easy. No, no, because it's not a verse of rahmah. Who's Allah talking to? Ah, he's speaking to the kuffar, I think, Sheikh. When Allah says, and verily we will test you with your life, with your children, with your health, and with your wealth. Who's he talking to, bro? Not me. That's why we're lost. That's why we're confused. So imagine the moment of letting go and then watching. Can I help you, Sheikh? Someone, okay. There's a car blocking, please. Can I get some water, please, Sheikh? Sorry, T-R-Y? D-R-Y. D-R-Y.
037L.
037L. There's a car blocking. Please, we need it moved immediately. Toyota Condor. Red color. Someone needs to go, please, for a funeral. Please move your car before there's a funeral for yourself, please. Sheikh, do I have much time? I feel like I'm running against the clock. Really? Huh? Nussa. Sorry, guys. That intro killed me, man. Okay, tomorrow's not a work day. Okay. So imagine the moment when she let go. I hope you guys are with me. Am I boring you? Please stay with me, please. So imagine the moment when she let go. This is all Quran, huh? It's not Bollywood. Quran. So she lets go and she watches it go. So now she does as her mother has instructed her. She runs after the box. She runs and runs and runs and runs, and Allah takes the box from where she placed it. And of all the destinations on earth, Allah takes it to the front door of Fir'aun. Come on, man. Ya Allah, what are you doing to me? Ya Allah, is this some funny joke? You know, sometimes, my brother, you're in a position in life. You know, I used to do a lot of fundraising dinners. So I mastered all the right verses and all the right ahadith to make people throw money at me. And sometimes I used to inspire people so much that the man, without thinking, would throw everything he had because he really believed in every verse of Quran I was saying at the time. Then he goes home when the emotions settle and he tells his wife, and his wife slaps him. Bah! He then starts thinking what? Man, that hublus is one big zebra, one big liar, man. Or sometimes Allah promises you that, hey, give your money in charity and we promise you it will not diminish your wealth, and Allah promises it will only increase. But still till this day, when we give money in charity, our hand is shaking. And sometimes you get empowered. I've had this happen many times. You'll give some money that you really needed. Full yaqeen that Allah will really So you give the money, you go back home, and your wife tells you, guess what? The landlord has just increased the rent on us. So don't lie. Be honest. Deep down in our hearts, we start doubting Allah, don't we? Imagine how the mother of Musa felt. That, Ya Allah, I did what you asked me to do. And you took my son. You know, if it was the neighbor, maybe up the street. But straight to Fir'aun, Ya Allah. Again, who is he telling this story to? If only we would listen and absorb. So now Fir'aun comes out. He sees the child. And many ulama have written that the moment he looked at the baby, he knew in his heart that this is the boy that I've been worried about. But like Fir'aun, myself, like Fir'aun, I'm a slave to my wife. So when the wife of Fir'aun seen the child, this is a man that claimed to be God. You go to your business acting so staunch, then you go home and your wife slaps you and there's nothing you can do about it. Yes, I know they're listening. Many of us are going to get slapped tonight. So Fir'aun knew. But the wife of Fir'aun, she seen the child and she fell in love. So she slapped Fir'aun and she said, hey, we're keeping him, man. And guess what, Fir'aun? There's nothing you can do about it either. So now Fir'aun, look, can you not see Allah's plan? So now the baby, newborn, hasn't eaten, maybe in days, Allahu A'lam. So now he needs a wet nurse, someone to feed the child. It's not like today where there's baby formulas. So he gathered every wet nurse that could breastfeed this child. And guess what? He refused every single breast. What are you going to do, man? Fir'aun, you don't have a solution? The wife of Fir'aun is there. We've tried everyone in town. Sometimes we hear a story and we say, SubhanAllah, coincidentally, guess what? There's no coincidence with Allah. Guess who used to work at the palace of Fir'aun? The sister of Musa. Ah, this story is too much, man. So now the sister of Musa, imagine she's there, she's watching, she knows the secret. No one knows what's going on. I see my brother, he's dying of hunger. And I know where my mother is, but how do I not uncover what's happening? Imagine the feelings and the emotions. But guess what? Even she was between a rock and a hard place. If my brother is not fed anytime soon, he will also die. So she says, I know of a lady. Maybe she can help. Now, sometimes you don't want to uncover. We're trying to keep it secret. So they bring in the mother of Musa. Imagine the feelings. Are you with me or not? Imagine the anxiety. She walks into the palace. You don't want to uncover the secrets. She walks in. She takes Musa. And he latches right onto her breast and he starts to suckle. Now Fir'aun doesn't jerry on. He doesn't catch what's happening. He thinks she's just another wet nurse. So he says to her, listen, you will live in my palace and you will feed my child. She went from scared, worried and concerned, and this will happen in your life. She went from scared, worried and concerned. Now Allah put her in a position where she's speaking to Fir'aun and she's giving him orders. She says, no, You will bring him to me and I will feed him in my house. He left in a wooden box. And just like Allah promised, we will return him to you. He left in a wooden box, my brother and my sister. I hope you're listening. Sometimes you will go through difficulties in life and you feel that, look, there is no way out of this. Never give up in Allah because his promise is haq. He left in a wooden box. He came back in a caravan of royalty. And she was paid to feed her own son. And Fir'aun. What's the message from Fir'aun? Oh Ummah, understand. I hope you're listening. That Fir'aun, listen buddy. You can do what you want. You can put in any rules and regulations that you want. You can make any testification and any claim that you want. But it is we created him when we wanted. Against every law of yours. Against every regulation of yours. I brought him to your nose in front of your house. You fed him and you gave him water. And you raised him under your very nose and under your roof. And guess what, Fir'aun? There is absolutely nothing that you can do about it. Because it is we that give commands. It is we that give orders. Who is he telling this to? Who's this story to? Rasulullah, are you worried about the people of Quraysh? Rasulullah, are you worried about this Abu Jahl? Let me tell you about your brother Musa. How far are we from the Quran? How far? If only we understood the Quran, my brothers and my sisters. It is Allah alone that does. He gives. He takes. He makes. He breaks. Like the famous Sheikh Sulaiman Qatani, as he says in one of his great bayans. Allah. Allah. Nothing rises and nothing falls. Nothing moves and nothing stops. Except by his permission. And we left Allah and we ran to the makhluk. You know, sometimes, may Allah never test you. Imagine you're a very wealthy man. And you're an honorable man too. And you caught your son begging from someone out on the street. How would that make you feel, man? Honestly, how would that make you feel? How do you think Allah feels when he sees the Muslim asking from someone other than Allah? Wow, man. So Allah tells Rasulullah the story of his brother Ibrahim. Do I have time for Ibrahim? I'll tell you one little juicy part of Ibrahim. Again, who's he telling him about? His brother. That, oh Rasulullah, you feel lonely, no mother, no father, no brothers. You know, sometimes it's easier when I know my father is dead and I've never had a father. But like I say currently, have you ever heard of the 21st century orphan? Have you heard of him? The 21st century orphan is the orphan that has a mother and has a father. We complain and we cry, Sheikh, our children, Habibi, our children are orphans that don't have mothers and fathers. I mean, yeah, you're there physically, but you might as well not be there. Because you're busy with your titles and your names and your honor and your glory, and you're busy with this group and that group, and you're busy with your YouTube, and you're busy with your friends and your sports, and you're busy with your money and your business, and you're busy, and it's all halal things, but you're busy. And you left your child. We dump our children, maybe not in this country, but in Australia, we dump our children in very expensive private Islamic schools, trying to justify our sickness and our sick life by boasting that, Sheikh, my son is a hafid. Trying to cover my wicked life in the fact that my son is a hafid. Well, trust me, bro, your son is not going to save you from Jahannam. The 21st century orphan, he has a father and he has a mother. But as the brother was saying, Hafiz Shakir, the Deen team, look at where the Muslim youth are. Sheikh, our kids have no respect. Do they really? Where's his mother and father? Sheikh, what do you want me to do? I need to put bread on the table. It is Allah that puts bread on the table, you jahil, not you. Allah never, ever, ever did Allah ever order you. Never did Allah in the Quran or anywhere in the Sunnah order you to give our children five-star lives. Rather, Allah says in the Quran, let each man spend according to what we have given him. My mothers, I hope you're listening. I hope you're listening. Live according to the life that Allah has given you, and not according to the Kardashians. But we love their life. Have you heard of the 21st century widow? She's married, she has a husband, but she might as well not have a husband because he's busy and she's left to raise her children on her own. And he comes home like he's coming into a hotel room. And when he's home, most of the times he's telling her how insignificant she is, and how many offers he's had for a second wife, and that the only reason why he hasn't done it is because he feels sorry for her. The 21st century widow. Our families have been broken apart, my brothers. Get your head out of the sand. People have been telling me, what's your advice for South Africa? My advice, and I know I sound like I'm anti the ulama, but wallahi, I burn. And if I don't turn to you, then who do I turn to? I really wish the Mufti Maulana Hafiz Saab, who you have to speak for 15 minutes mentioning titles before you get to his name, I really wish you ulama and you huffaz and you mashayikh and you people of deen would get up off your chairs. Stop looking at your titles and start serving the ummah like Rasulullah served it. I really wish! I'm the president of the masjid. Yeah, and what do you want me to do for you, Sheikh? We love honor. Honor is earned, not given. So you might, Sheikh, I think that's a little bit disrespectful. Before you jumped the gun, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do khidmah with his own hands to the people, Is that dishonor? Tell me. The Sayyid of a people is the Khadim. I really wish our ulama would listen. Our families are broken, my brothers. So stop worrying about how you're going to purchase a house and how you're going to buy your next Mercedes-Benz. And start worrying about how am I going to build a family. Because I know many kids back home in Sydney who they live in a very fancy double-story house and their father has bought their mother a brand new car. One kid in specifically, he said to me, anything, I despise my father and I do anything just to get him going. I smoke a cigarette, not because I fancy the cigarette, but because I know it burns his soul, so I do it. Why? When I speak to the father, he says, what do you want me to do, brother? Look, I work 24 hours. I've given them a big home and a big... Habibi, we don't want your home and we don't want your car. I want your acknowledgement. I want your time. I want your affection. You are my father. Restore your homes, my brothers. Restore your homes. Today, our women, because we give them hush money, fancy cars and fancy handbags. I don't know what it's like in South Africa, but come and I'll show you. But when she goes to the supermarket and a foreign man smiles at her and she smiles back while you're busy making your thousands. You see, our women don't want cars and don't want handbags. What they want is acknowledgement. What they want is your undivided attention. Today I sit in front of my wife holding my phone. Yeah, I'm listening. But you're not. You're not listening. Anyway, how did I get here? Ibrahim. Sorry, I don't know how. That happens sometimes. Forgive me, yeah? So Allah tells Rasulullah about his brother Ibrahim. That Rasulullah, you grew up without a mother and a father. You grew up without brothers and sisters. At least you didn't have any. Let me tell you about Ibrahim, O Rasulullah, who had a father, who had a mother, who had brothers and sisters, but all of which were disbelievers. Wow. Wow. Anyway, it's a long story, but one specific. Now Ibrahim does what Allah orders him to do. And as a result, guess how Allah thanks him? The people, including his family, put a fire together that they burnt for 40 days. Are you with me? Imagine Ibrahim was tied up, watching this fire be built for 40 days, thinking, Ya Allah, when's the Nusra coming, Allah? Ya Allah, what's happening, Allah? I did what you told me, Allah. Is this how you thank me, Ya Allah? For 40 days, he watches the fire come together. Such a fire, birds could not fly over it. Such a fire, they couldn't even throw Ibrahim into it. They had to build a catapult to launch him in. So now they put him in the catapult. Are you with me? I really wish I can dissect, but there's really no time. They put him in the catapult and launch him. Now Ibrahim is mid-air. So in the Israeliyat, Allah sends Jibreel at that very moment. And Jibreel alayhi salam says to Ibrahim, this is also in Quran, Ya Ibrahim, do you need anything? Now let me step away because it's Quran, so we don't have lack of adab with the Quran. So let me step away. Sometimes I think, Habibi, what do you mean, do I need anything? Are you blind? Habibi, I'm mid-air, going straight into the fire. You're asking me if I need anything? But look at the iman of a 16-year-old boy. So Ibrahim says to Jibreel, he says, from you, Ya Jibreel, I need nothing. Hasbi Allah wa ni'mal wakil. Enough is Allah for me. The best to take care of all affairs. Sometimes in life, Allah is looking for this very moment in your life. Allah will push you, push you, push you, corner you, corner you, corner you, because Allah is waiting for this moment. And for many of us, Allah never has His moment. So when Allah says, so when Ibrahim said, Hasbi Allah wa ni'mal wakil, now look what Allah does for Ibrahim. Allah then orders the fire to be cool and safe for Ibrahim. So the fire that was designed to destroy him was the fire that caught him softly and brought him in. And it wasn't too hot and it wasn't too cold. And food would come down from the heavens for 40 days in the fire. Allah ordered. We think, again, coming back to Tawheed, it's not the human that does. It's not the fire that burns. It's not the eyes that see. There are many people, my brothers, that have eyes, but they don't see. It is Allah that allows you to see, not your eyes. When you believe that it's eyes that see, this becomes shirk with Allah. It's not your medicine that cures you. It is Allah that cures. And Allah can cure you without the medicine. Allah can make you see without eyes. But because we're so dunya, you're telling me, brother, what do you mean? Allah can make me see without eyes. Allah says in the Quran, it's not the eyes that go blind. It's the hearts that are in the chest. Very quickly, I met an Egyptian sheikh. His name was Sheikh Rajab. He's a blind man. He's still alive. If you ever meet him, the most articulate, the most amazing speaker I've ever come across. He gave a khutbah one day and I was sitting there and I was listening to his khutbah. And he's a blind man, been blind from when he was 8, 7, whatever the case is. In his talk he said, and please just bear with me. He said, one day I was in London, UK London, giving a khutbah in a masjid that was in a very business area. Lots of tourists. So he said, after the khutbah one day, a man came to me and was, you know, he was very moved by my khutbah. And I could comprehend because I was very moved by his talk. So the man came to him. He says to him, Sheikh, I'm from California. And I was very impressed with your khutbah. And you being blind has really touched my heart. He says to him, Sheikh, I'm a businessman whom Allah has given lots of money to. Please, Sheikh, all expenses spare. I will take care of everything. Sheikh, I have some friends in very high positions back home in America. Let me fly you to America. And whatever it will cost me to make you see again, I'm prepared to pay. So the sheikh turns around and he says to him, he says, my dear brother, I thank you for the kind gesture, but tell me something, my brother. Why will I open a door of sin that Allah closed for me a long time ago? You see, he's blind, but he sees way better than you and I. It's not the fire that burns, it's Allah that burns. Allah ordered the fire to change its characteristics. Some of the ulama say that for 40 days, fire didn't burn anywhere on earth because of Ibrahim. Oh, I'm out of time, man. Turn to Allah, my brothers. Come back to the Quran. Come back to the stories of the prophets. It will solve not some of your problems, but all your problems. Are you ready, inshallah? Forgive me, I really wished I had time. I had so... How amazing is Allah, man? Tell me something, be honest. Don't you feel like you've never heard the Quran ever in your life? It's the only living miracle from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Come to Deen, my young brother and my young sister. Come to Allah. Allah will satisfy your hunger. He will quench your thirst. But come to Him completely, not half-heartedly. And finally, I want to say just a quick note because Sheikh Burhan has asked me to. I know this is slightly off topic, but you know, social media and the internet is a big thing nowadays. It's a big thing. Now, I'm not going to get into the debate of whether it's haram and halal and whether or not we should do it, because it's a big, big topic. Now, some of you have seen me on social media and you see some of this stuff. And I want to say something to you guys, my brothers and sisters. Don't believe everything you see. And there's more harm than good on social media. And those young ulama that inspire to be great da'is one day, I really hope you're not depending on social media. Because if you are, let me tell you from first-hand experience, Allah Himself will destroy you. Social media is okay when it's a supplementary to authentic da'wah. And that's the da'wah of walking on your feet and knocking on doors to people that don't want deen. Because in that process, there's a tarbiyah where Allah smashes your nafs, smashes your ego. I'm not saying this is not da'wah, but this is what I like to call champagne da'wah. I was picked up in a nice car, brought to the masjid, brought straight to the front. This makes you feel like you're more than what you really are. So I'm not saying you can't give da'wah through social media. I'm saying don't depend on it, because that's not real da'wah. It's a supplementary da'wah. Are you with me? I really hope the brothers will take the heed to this. And my advice is to every sheikh and to every alim and to anyone that's on social media. Don't call people to yourself. Allah will destroy you. Now, yes, I'm on social media, but let me make a public announcement here and now. I do not have any personal accounts on social media. So any Facebook page you see with my name on it, any Snapchat, any social media outlet that you see my name on it, is unofficial, unapproved. It is not mine. There is one guy now on Facebook who is acting like he's me. And I've asked him multiple times. I've written to him. I've sent him audio recordings. I've sent him video recordings. Brother, please remove your page. And he hasn't. I've spoken to Facebook, and I swear either it's a robot or a monkey that works there, because both are the same. My brother, if you're going to use social media, don't glorify yourself. Glorify Allah. I don't have a Facebook page because I'm not interested in Facebook. I believe it's a fitna. Yes, there's good in it, but I believe there's a fitna. And this idea of, you know, no, Sheikh, we can speak to you directly. Number one, I'm not a Sheikh. I'm not a Hafiz. I'm not a Alim. I'm nothing but a big batikha, bro. Nothing but a watermelon. So, and I'm not saying this to humble myself, but speak the truth, even if the truth is against yourself. You know, it's one thing to call people to Allah. That's nice and praiseworthy. But don't act like you're something that you're not. We don't glorify ourselves, we glorify Allah. And when you have a Facebook page where you have direct contact with people, you start off sincere, no doubt. But even the Sahaba fell into big problems. Don't make celebrities out of speakers, my brothers. You think you're doing good for them, but by Allah, you're destroying them and deen. Don't. I'm not saying it's haram to have a Facebook page. I'm not telling any sheikh what to do and what not to do. But if you have any fear of Allah, my brother, stay away from it, man. Don't play with fire. When people can comment you and inbox you directly, and sisters are vulnerable, and they are, wow. I don't do it because I'm religious. Sorry, I don't not have a Facebook page because I'm religious. I know, Habibi, from the first Salaamu Alaikum Sheikh, I'm gone, Habibi. I'm gone. Gone. This is Velcro. So don't play with fire, man. That's my sincere advice. I really hope you take it from the heart. And if you have a Facebook, please don't walk away. Don't harm. Don't look at any sheikh that has a Facebook. No, no, don't be foolish. We love them. We respect them. And we have good hopes and thoughts about them, that the only reason that they have it is for Allah's pleasure. I'm just advising that I think it's best if you don't have it. That's all I'm saying. Don't praise oneself. Rather, do it through an organization. So, for example, the only way you'll ever see me on Facebook is through Living Muslim. It's not mine. I don't run it. You can't communicate with me. Safer for me, Habibi, and safer for you. May Allah bless you all, reward you all. I've loved my time in South Africa. Though I have one complaint. I've asked for KFC from the day I've landed, and I still don't have it, man. So, Sheikh, I'm hoping, Sheikh Yaqub, work something out for me, man. May Allah bless your Ferrero Rocher Masjid. May Allah increase you all. Go home and show some love to your wives and your families, my brothers. Please, I beg you, man. Please, I beg you. Wallahi, sit with your wife, undivided attention. Just have some tea and biscuits. You know what? You don't even have to really listen. You just have to act like you're listening. And you will see amazing results. Are we ready? Can I wrap it up? Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Jazakallah.